Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find Matthew chapter 4? Meet me in Matthew chapter 4. We'll start in verse 12. It may also assist you to locate this little piece of paper entitled "To Make Jesus Your King and Serve His Kingdom." I have been digging deep into this unifying theme of the Scripture, the kingdom of God, this week. And friends, these are life-changing truths. They're life-giving truths about the kingdom. So I want your heart to be wide open. Soak them up, because this is God's message from His heart. To get us on the same page, let me ask you this question. When you think of the kingdom, just the word kingdom, what comes to mind? Now, I will wager that some of you have already conjured up a picture from Orlando, Florida, in a place called the Magic Kingdom. I've been there a few times myself. As a matter of fact, that picture was taken just weeks ago. No, actually, that was about 35 years ago. But Mary Ruth and I, we were kind of avant-garde. When we got married in 1977, June the 11th, we went to this newfangled place in Orlando called the Magic Kingdom. And we stayed at the Contemporary Hotel in the Polynesian. Oh, it was an adventure. And we fell in love with the Magic Kingdom. So I like the Magic Kingdom. We've taken our kids there. That's Jason when he's 6 and Sarah when she's 3. But the Magic Kingdom is such a unique place. Think about it. It's a make-believe kingdom. It's world famous. But what if the entire world was the Magic Kingdom? Then everything would be clean. Everyone would be nice. All the news would be good news. The only work you would do would be play. The only goal you would have every day is to have fun. But if all the world was the Magic Kingdom, you would have two problems. Number one, a lot of people couldn't afford it. Today's ticket price, if you're over 10, is $124. So for a family of four, it would tag you for $500, and you've not even purchased your mouse ears. Now, the other problem is this. The Magic Kingdom has no king. It only has a little goofy mouse. That's all. I would suggest to you that you need to know about another kingdom. And unlike the Magic Kingdom, it's not a make-believe kingdom. It's a real kingdom, but you cannot see it. Unlike the Magic Kingdom, it will be gone in due time. This kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and it lasts for all eternity. It is not a Magic Kingdom or a mouse's kingdom. It's the Master's kingdom. It is the place where Jesus Christ rules and reigns now and forever. And friends, if you are a follower of Christ, that makes you a citizen of the kingdom, and Jesus is your now and forever king. Which brings me to an all-important question. Fill it in on the blank in your worksheet. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Let me tell you what King Jesus says your purpose is. Your kingdom leader is Jesus, and he says your purpose is to enter the kingdom by making Jesus your king and then serving his kingdom, extending and expanding his kingdom by the best use of your resources. That is your purpose. So let's dive deep into these life-changing, life-giving truths as we come to Matthew 4. And I want you to learn about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Let me set the stage. Previously in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist, and his work starts. Then Jesus is tempted by the devil, and his work is tested. And now Jesus is coming to proclaim the meaning of his message, and this is his work that we're to participate in. Verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill that which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land and in the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Now focus like a laser on verse 17. This is the key that unlocks it all, the key to the kingdom. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, this is continuous. This is his purpose. This is his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's pray. Precious Father, we come very humbly, very intentionally into your glorious presence. And we ask that you help us come to full spiritual attention. These truths are heavy, and they can transform us into your image. I would request again, Lord, that you would get me out of the way so that I not foul the communication process. Let your spirit invade this place. And I pray that you would deposit your truth into every receptive heart. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want to do. The goal is to help you understand your life purpose, which is to enter the kingdom and extend it. And I've got four questions that will help you do so. Let's begin with question number one. Question number one, what is the kingdom of heaven? The answer, God's rule over my life. That is the answer, God's rule over my life. Now, this is the first proclamation of Jesus. He is saying, I came to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's here, it's available to you right now. Now, understand this because some of you are asking the question, is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God the same term? It is absolutely identical. If you travel through the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew is written to a Jewish audience, on 31 occasions, the phrase is used, the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of times, Jewish people were hesitant to use the word God because they didn't want to sound disrespectful, so they used a metaphor, the kingdom of heaven. But 103 times in the 89 chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God used. It's everywhere. It is the theme. It's actually the unifying theme of the entire Bible. You see, friends, the Word of God is all about the kingdom. And the Word of God is proclaiming that Jesus is the emissary of the king. He is the king. And God is the one who rules and reigns over everything. Look on your worksheet at Psalm 103, verse 19. You'll find scores of verses like this in God's Word. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. You've heard the phrase, God is sovereign. That simply means that God is king. He rules and reigns over everything. He is the one who is large and in charge. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can trump him. That's who God is. He is king, and he rules. So what is the kingdom? It's simply where God rules. Now, to have a kingdom, all you need is a king. To have a kingdom, you don't need a palace. You don't need an army. You don't need a throne. You don't need a geographical boundary. To have a kingdom, all you need is to have a king. This is the essential requirements. Now, friends, when you crown Jesus as your Savior and your king, you become a citizen of heaven, and you're adopted into his royal family. Now, think about that. God is the sovereign creator, king of it all. He invites you to come into his kingdom by surrendering to his kingship, and that makes you part of his royal family. That's what we learn in John 1. As many as receive him, to them gives he power to become children of God. So that means you are part of a royal lineage. I like that. Let that sink in. I mean, when you see me, you maybe you think of Pastor Jay, but you could also think of Prince Jay, Princess Mary Ruth, my royal brother, Ed. He is Prince Ed. That's who we are. So I want you to let that sink into your spirit, marinate. Understand that you are part of God's royal family. And that should color and actually control your identity and how you see yourself. So many people claim to be Christians and yet they slink through life. They are on the low road. They see themselves as a victim, not a victor. They have no confidence. They have no assurance of who they are. But I want you to hear that you are part of this royal family. Several years ago, Mary Ruth and I made a trip over to England to see our daughter, Alex. Alex was working with the International Mission Board, and we stayed outside of London for 9 days. It was an extraordinary trip. I've always been fascinated with England and certainly English royalty. Well, there came a story while we were there that just absolutely fascinated my attention on the Queen of England. Now, most of you know that the Queen of England is Queen Elizabeth II. She was born in 1926, and she's an amazing person. Now, in this particular moment, the Queen of England, in this news story, entered an international gathering. And there were people from all over the world at that gathering. There were people who were world leaders. There were people who were entrepreneurs in the business world. There were celebrities. There were athletes. And when Queen Elizabeth walked into the room, and I say this with due respect, she was not the most beautiful person in the room. She was not the smartest person in the room. She was not the most influential. She was not the wealthiest. But when she walked into that room, she owned the place. She had regal posture. This lady has been raised as royalty. And friend, I want you to understand that you are royal. And God calls you to understand that your core identity is you are the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you need to see yourself in that light and live in that light. You know, sometimes I meet somebody and they just got their head down and you shake their hand and it's kind of like you just picked up a cold catfish. You know, it's just dead. There's no energy, there's no life, there's no enthusiasm. That's not the picture of royalty, is it? Royalty is not arrogance, it is confidence. It is assurance of who you are and your calling. So let me underline that for you, that the kingdom of God simply means God's rule in your life. But be sure that He is ruling. Now here is the big problem. You see, even when you come to Christ, there's a battle that continues to rage. A battle between your flesh and the Spirit of God that resides in you. Years ago, I heard Bill Bright put it like this. He said, imagine the control center of your life is like a throne. And on that throne, every day, you get to choose who will rule and reign. Will it be Jay or will it be Jesus? Will it be the cross or will it be your ego? Think about that. Right now, do a moment of introspection. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? Who is ruling? Who is reigning? For some people, it's the past. It's their problems. It's other people and pleasing them. No, that's a bad ruler. You see, put on the throne of your life Jesus. When I wake up in the morning, I have a little drill. I wake up and I say, oh God, I praise you. Good morning, Father. And then I put my hands up like this, the universal sign of surrender, and I repeat Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And I surrender. I literally, in the theater of my imagination, place Jesus on the throne. And I would urge you to do the same. Let Jesus rule and reign. Number two, where is the kingdom? The answer, it's here and in the future. The kingdom is here and in the future. Let me take you all the way to an interview that Jesus had with Pilate. It's in John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. Jesus is before Pilate. He is on trial. Pilate says, I understand that you are the King of the Jews. Is that true? And Jesus explained to him, yes, that is true. He said, I am a king, but I'm not the kind of king that you are thinking about. If I were an earthly king, my followers would be fighting for my freedom. But he said, I'm a different kind of king. Jesus was beginning to give Pilate a picture, give us a picture of what his kingdom looks like. It's not a physical kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's interesting. Jesus' kingdom, for instance, is not political, but being part of his kingdom impacts how you vote. Jesus' kingdom is not an educational kingdom, but when you're part of Jesus' kingdom, it impacts how you think and your worldview. Jesus' kingdom is not an economic kingdom, but when you're part of his kingdom, it affects how you spend your money and how you spend your time. Jesus' kingdom is not a geographical kingdom, but when you're part of his kingdom, it impacts where you go and what you do, doesn't it? You see, the kingdom is not visible, it's yet more real. Now, let me tell you how the invisible kingdom becomes visible. Now, hang with me here. The most famous statement that Jesus made on earth, arguably, is in Matthew chapter 6 when he gives us the Lord's Prayer. How does it go? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, right there. Embedded in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is an address and an instruction about the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Well, what is the kingdom? It's where the king's will is done. So here's the goal of God. He wants you to bring his kingdom into view wherever you go. That's how the kingdom becomes visible. The invisible kingdom becomes visible when you show up. I got an idea that when I come into a room, the kingdom appears. That's what the scripture says, thy kingdom come. Because I want to be a doer of the word, the way, and the will of God. And you have that same capacity. We bring the kingdom wherever we come. Let me give you a kind of a fun illustration of that. So this week, Mary Ruth was out of town. She was at the Hope Hills camp up in North Alabama. And so I had to go get some groceries to sustain myself. So I traveled over to Walmart and I bought the basic necessities of life. I bought bread, butter, bacon, bananas, blueberries, Band-Aids, and bubble gum. Those were the basic necessities that I picked up. And I was standing in line, and I had this ability to get in the slowest line almost every time. So here I am in this slow line, and this lady right in front of me is just giving the cashier the dickens. I mean, they're having some problem, and I'm kind of tempted to bail out and go over to the next one, but I just feel this prompting in my spirit to stick with this one. This young lady who's the cashier looks like a college student, and I can tell she's tearing up, and it's kind of a tough, tense moment. Well, I get up there next, and so I see that on her name tag, her name is Destiny. And I'm thinking, this is a destiny moment here in Walmart. And so I said, hey, Destiny, thank you for checking me out. And I can tell she's mad because she's just dumped the bananas on top of the blueberries and crushed them. But I'm not worried because I got Band-Aids, so she's always just putting it over here. And so then I said, you know, Destiny, I can just tell you're having a hard day. She said, I'm having the worst day, and I'm afraid that lady's going to tell my manager, and I need this job. I'm in college. And so I said, well, Destiny, I'm a pastor. I'll pray for you. And oh, she just soaked that in. I reached in my pocket. I don't go anywhere without some ammunition. This is a gospel seed or a gospel bullet. And so I just said, here, Destiny, take this little cross and this information about Jesus. And I mean, her face just lit up like a 150-watt incandescent bulb. I mean, she said, she just took me. She said, Pastor, I don't think anybody has ever done this in line at Walmart before to give me something. And she said, I just want to thank you. And I said, well, why don't you come to our church? She said, you're the first person that's ever invited me to church. I'm a college student, and this just means so much. And I know some friends who need to come with me. Destiny, are you here? I'm looking. You see, I brought the kingdom of God to Walmart in that moment. And friends, wherever we go as kingdom servants, you have that same capacity. Where is the kingdom? It is now, Jesus said. It is right here. That's what he is saying to Pilate. It's not a physical, it's not a political kingdom, but it is a spiritual kingdom. Like it says in the book of Romans, it's not about eating and drinking. It's about the Holy Spirit coming into the presence of people's lives. That's what the kingdom is about, but it's also future. Make this note, this is so important. You see, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what Paul said in Philippians 2, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can bank it. If you're on the Jesus team, you are going to win because he has the keys to the future kingdom. Daniel saw it in Daniel 2, verse 44. Daniel saw this vision of the coming kingdom that will replace all earthly kingdoms, and it will last forever. And then look in Revelation on your worksheet. John saw it. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Where have you heard those words? That's Handel's Messiah. Just when I read them, I can hear the living Christmas tree up here cranking out that great truth, Ed directing, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God because the kingdom is future. And do you want to facilitate its coming? Do you know what it says in Matthew 24, verse 14? When the gospel of the kingdom is preached in every land, the kingdom will come. The end will come. That's why we do missions. We share the gospel so we facilitate the culmination of history. Let me show you two other things real quick. Number three, how do I become a subject in the kingdom of heaven? Simple, you must be born again. The bottom line, you must be born again. Jesus went to Nicodemus, this man who was very religious, and he talked to him about physical birth, and then he shifted the gear to spiritual birth. And look on your worksheet. He said, it's this simple. I tell you the truth. No man can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. You've got to be born again. You see, Jesus came, and he said, religion won't get you there. You've got to have a relationship with your Creator God. Now, friends, I'm obligated to remind you of this sobering, solemn truth in Matthew 7, 21. That's where Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now that is a sobering, bracing statement because we think we're Americans, everybody's going to get into heaven. No, that's not what the scripture says. Only those who do the will of the Father. I am deeply concerned that there are many, many people who come to church and maybe they do some religious activity, but they will miss heaven by the distance of 18 inches. That's the difference between your head and your heart. There are many people who are tied into religion and maybe they can quote the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed, but they don't know the Savior. They've not been born again. You can't define the terms that will take you to heaven. You see, Jesus said it like this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the terms are not automatic, nor are they defined by you or our culture. They are singularly defined by the King. And the King says, here is the requirement, you must be born again. And there's one last key question. Four, what is my job in the kingdom of heaven? This is the application point. This is your ultimate takeaway. Answer, love and serve the King. Love and serve the King. Once you enter the kingdom by the new birth, which simply means you surrender your life to Jesus, your kingdom assignment is to love and serve the King. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. And then he further explained how to do that in practical ways in Matthew 6, verse 20. Look on your worksheet. Listen to this, stockpile treasures in heaven where it is safe from moth and rust and burglars. The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. I have a friend who was telling this amazing story about how their church was involved in a building program. And they had had a banquet. It was a church in Gardendale, Alabama. If you've ever ridden up I-65 and there's a huge cross on the edge of the road, that's the church. And he said they were having this building program and they had a commitment meal, and there was a wealthy widow named Nell, and she had taken a card and she had filled out her pledge, and this pastor had spoke on Matthew chapter 6 verse 20, and he said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven so that rust and moth and thieves won't destroy. So Nell filled out a safe amount on the pledge card. She went home. She came up to her front door. And according to her, She opened her purse to get the keys out to open the front door. And when she opened her purse, this huge moth came flying out. She had no idea where the moth came from. It was totally astonishing. But she said that moth moment motivated her to multiply her pledge and her kingdom service. I bet it would you too. Because here's the great truth, friend. Everything in this world, it's going to pass. Everything. Only what is done for Jesus Christ will last. So be a seeker of the kingdom and a servant of the King. Here's the summary. Make this last note. Hear Christ's call to enter his kingdom and extend it. Hear the call of Christ to enter his kingdom. Oh, you've got to surrender your life to the King and then spend your best life energies extending his kingdom. There was a reporter doing a story on Labor Day, and this reporter went up to a work site, and the reporter interviewed three workers. The reporter came to the first worker and said, "What are you doing?" And the man looked at the reporter and said, "I am making $20 an hour. It's all about the money." The reporter went to the next person in the row. The reporter said, "What are you doing?" The fellow said, "I am laying bricks, and it's all about my skill set." The reporter then came to the third fellow, and he was doing the same thing on the same work site, and the reporter said, "What are you doing?" And that reporter stood up straight, and he said, "Ma'am, I am building a church to the glory of God, and it's all about his kingdom." Amen? Let's do it. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you to say thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.